one of the key questions I ask my clients is, how is your properties performing? How are they going? Cash flow positive, cash flow negative, what months are good, what months are bad, what years are good? And quite often the answer I get is, I don't know.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we'll continue the conversation with accountant Jeremy Anazani, who will delve into the nuts and bolts of his personal investing strategy that allowed him to grow his portfolio. You'll also discover how he utilized capital growth to his advantage and how you can manage your portfolio in a few hours a week. It was a sense of procrastination that initially held Anazani back from entering the property market, but he attributes that time he spent observing and researching the market alone as a significant advantage when it came time for him to invest.
But I often reflect back and calculate, oh, if I bought that property, you know, a year ago back then, and what would it be worth today? Or if I bought that property, I would have had a bit of extra time in the market. But all relative, in the essence that I often say to myself, Jeremy, don't be silly. That time, that 1 year that you spent procrastinating, but really learning and understanding the market and how the beast works, how property investment works, was all very imperative in my journey. It gave me a lot of different things to look at. It opened up a lot of different doors and a different mindset. So I was able to make very calculated decision on properties because I did spend a year of getting out there and physically going to things and seeing how agents worked and seeing how auction processes worked and seeing the competition you're up against and the different properties that you can contrast. I always say that I never regret. I don't think I was the greatest thing to procrastinate for that year, but at the same time, I have no regrets because it all helped me to develop where I am today.
This first-hand experience has been key to developing Anazali's comprehensive understanding of property investment and something that he attributes directly to his success.
And I often say to my clients who are looking to start in property investment journey or who are still in it or going through it, mate, I probably visited, in essence, that year, over 100 properties. You know, every weekend I was trying to view at least 3 or 4 or 5, with the exceptions of some public holidays, with the exceptions of some shutdown time, obviously over Christmas and New Year's. But I would really actively try to go visit properties each week, being Saturdays, and I would have drove past hundreds of for sale signs and stopped and taken photos and had a bit of a sticky beak. So it was an integral part, made a very integral part to where I am today.
But as well as this direct exposure, he has sourced information from a wide range of resources from books to seminars. This thirst for insight provided him with the tools for serious action towards his investment goals.
I had a lot of resources. I used, obviously, you know, we all use realestate.com and domain, but I really utilized realestate.com rather than just going on to the buy and rent tab or buy, sell and rent tab. I used the other tabs that are there, like the invest tab. And that invest tab is a huge amount of data which shows different yields within areas and shows price medians and percentage increases within areas. So I did try to utilize all the resources that I had. I spent a bit of time on forums to listen and read what other people were doing. I spent a bit of time listening to podcasts, which were relatively new back then. Reading books was obviously something that I looked at, and Jan Summers and The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. A lot of those books helped me. I went to various different seminars. Some of my clients who were buyer's agents at that stage, when I say my clients, clients that I was working on, and they were buyer's agents and having various different seminars. So I would attend those seminars and just listen to some things that they were doing. So I tried to use every single situation that I possibly could as a learning mechanism and tried to absorb as much information as I possibly could. I listened and spent a lot of time with other successful investors, some clients, people like my partner Manzurul or my father Vince, people who have a bit of wisdom, a bit of grey hair, or what I like to call runs on the board. You know, I love listening to people who talk about property, but I love listening to them more when they've got large property portfolios, because not only are they talking about it, but they're doing it. And I believe that, that doing is an action word, as we all know, and they're the people that you want. You want action people, people who take action on the words that they say.
Anazani values the personal stories, the lessons learned through personal experience that don't necessarily transcribe into figures and data. And he has no hesitation as to what he considers to be the most valuable lessons within his wealth of experience.
Mistakes and property cycles. I've learnt from them the way the different property cycles have worked, and you can't get that from a book. You've got to get that from someone who's gone through various different property cycles. And we're talking about, you know, your 93s to 95s, your 2001 to 2003. We're talking about your 86, 87 to 89s. You know, we all hear about the stories of the high interest rates, but you want to talk to the people who went through the times of the high interest rates and how did they come out? And how did they fare during those times? So I like to listen to those people who have done it, who have got a bit of grey hair and wisdom, as I said, who've been through the different property cycles, who saw properties increase and then saw those same properties decrease. And that's what I tried to learn the most. I tried to learn the most about the property cycle and how it works, and also the war stories. War stories for me are very important. I want to know the bad things that you've done. Everyone has good things, but I want to know the bad things and how you overcame it, because those are the things that I can look to avoid, or when they do happen, those are the things that I can apply the same rules that you did to get myself out of a very similar situation. So as I said, the buffer, that's where, you know, listening to other investors who didn't have a buffer and almost lose everything, compared to listening to those with buffers who have been able to fare during the harder times or times where there's been no equity growth or higher interest rates. They're the type of stories that I love, and they're the experiences I want to learn from.
Hard work and a strict saving strategy provide Anazani with the initial capital required to enter the market. But once he had his initial property, it was his willingness to capitalize on circumstances that had him to build upon it.
When I bought my first property, I felt that I bought it a little bit undervalued in that instance. It was on the market for about $350, and similar properties were selling for around about that price. As mentioned, the vendors, they had some circumstances where they needed to sell a little bit quickly, so I was able to offer what I say a very competitive price. And from that, I was able to get a little bit of equity extraction. I went in with an 80% loan, a 20% deposit, and that was through the money that I saved during my time working at the pizza shop and refereeing on the weekends and doing a little bit of that summer vacation, as well as working full-time as an accountant. So I really had an aggressive saving strategy, which was all very important in my portfolio. And went in with that 80% deposit, got a good valuation about 3 to 6 months after, was able to extract a little bit of equity without paying any additional LMI, which is lender's mortgage insurance. And then within about 3 to 5 months after that first property purchase, which was in February, I purchased a property in Queensland, a little bit higher yielding as a townhouse, purchased it for about 150, 160, renting for around about 260, 270 at that stage. So quite strong cash flow, but I felt it was quite undervalued, because those properties prior to a GFC and a couple floods in Queensland were worth in excess of 200. So I've seen the property market come down there. Within a couple months thereafter, I purchased a four-bedroom home in Woodridge for around about $200,000, which is now renting for about $350 per week. And again, that property back post prior GFC, prior floods, was around about $300, $320. So the market had come back significantly in Queensland when I was purchasing. The yields were incredibly high, because as the market came down in value, the rents really didn't. The rents stayed the way they are. So these gross yields were, you know, anywhere between 8 and 10%. And we're talking about half an hour to 35, 40 minutes away from a major CBD being Brisbane, and Surfers Paradise only being a hop, skip and a jump away with about the same distance, about 30 minutes. So again, I looked at infrastructure, I looked at schools, I looked at amenities, and a lot of things I felt in that southeast region of Queensland reminded me of Campbelltown. And I saw the way Campbelltown was growing, so I started to put a little bit of my eggs into the southeast region of Queensland. And I was able to buy around about 6 or 7 properties more there, in areas, say, in towards Ipswich, areas just south of Brisbane, so like Maruka, and Paddington and Fairfield and areas just north of Brisbane as well. So I was able to really expose that in such a very short time because I was buying properties where there was a bit of equity on the buy-in, as well as using the extracted equity from my New South Wales property. From Queensland, I said, well, I've invested enough in Queensland. I've got enough eggs in this particular area. So I started to look at the southern state of New South Wales being Victoria and saw again, areas of Victoria around about that 35 to 40 minutes away from the Melbourne CBD were, I would say, undervalued because, again, post-GFC, they were a little bit higher. And so I looked at a bit of historical data when making all the decisions of my particular property because I believe history is a good way to understand what the future holds. Maybe because we're humans and we do a little bit of, repetition. We tend to go around in a bit of circle, just inflating a little bit or deflating a little bit, slight changes, but nevertheless, reciprocal. So I utilized that history and understanding the numbers of the history to, I suppose, make my decisions for properties that would, what would they be like in the future. So that was very important to me, and I've invested quite a bit in Melbourne now as well. With the whole strategy, mind you, the whole strategy was to come back to New South Wales and continue investing in New South Wales. Because at that stage, New South Wales was increasing, and I do look back and say, well, if I bought a couple more, I would have made some money as well. But having those properties in Queensland, which have good cash flow and have had some capital growth, looking at Melbourne, which has cash flow and has some capital growth, I was able to redirect a lot of that capital growth and cash flow into Sydney, where I'm starting my town, my duplexes and a bit more of my development style or strategy properties here in New South Wales.
It is these well-timed investments, along with a comprehensive, continued knowledge of all areas of the property market, that allowed him to mitigate his risk while capitalizing on growth across the three states in which he has invested.
I got into property because it was a very, I would say, calculated risk where I can mitigate as much risk as I possibly can, right? So I looked at, well, not all the time will all the states be going up at once, and not all the time will all the states be going down at once. Maybe New South Wales is quite strong and Queensland and Victoria might be relatively lower, or the opposite. New South Wales could be coming down and people start to shift their equity or money into the other states, and that brings up the value. So I said to myself, I want to be creating capital growth all the time. I don't want to be stuck in a period of stagnation because I'm invested in just one state. I want to diversify my holdings, and I want to be able to acquire capital growth all the time through all the different property cycles. And that's why I started to look at diversifying into three states instead of just one, because for me, it was all about risk minimization or risk mitigation. And at the same time, I want to try and capture the capital growth as it's occurring in different states at different times.
And Anazani has done exactly that. His investments have accumulated to form a well-rounded portfolio.
Collectively, as a percentage increase, I'd probably say New South Wales has doubled for me without a doubt. There's been some properties within Queensland which almost have doubled, but in a shorter period of time, of course. The cash flow in Queensland I'm receiving is far greater than the cash flow in New South Wales and Melbourne. But I'd probably say on a single property basis, the New South Wales properties have probably done better. But as a collective cash flow and capital growth, Queensland has done significantly well for me. Victorian properties have done quite well. There's been a bit of rezoning in the areas that I've bought in. So that has artificially lifted the market value as more developers want to cash in. So that's been great as well, mate. So it's hard to just put a finger on just one. Everything has done well as a whole. But New South Wales, we can't oversee that New South Wales has been a very strong performer out of all those states.
Yep.
And how long will it last for? No one knows, Tyrone, unfortunately.
But that lack of future insight is something that he's mitigated with his accounting background. It provides him with the means to distribute the cash flow from his high-performing portfolio through different tax structures to legally minimise his tax expenditure.
In the earlier years, the cash flow was a little bit poor, I would say, because interest rates were a little bit higher and rents were still yet to go up to where they were today. But in today's time, with today's current portfolio, the portfolio was actually very cash flow positive.
Excellent.
So how I've mitigated, again, that cash flow positive, or that positive gearing, as we call it, is I've been able to diversify my properties into different structures. So I did initially purchase some properties in my own name, initially to get that negative gearing benefit, that bit of tax benefit that we're all after. But over time, that, you know, negative gearing has turned into positive gearing. So any benefit that I received, I've definitely paid that back. But that's not my biggest worry, because I was able to buy properties with inside trusts in different states, and utilize some land tax thresholds that trust gets in, say, Queensland. But on the other side, I was able to utilize that positive gearing in a trust and being able to distribute that to, I would say, lower income tax marginal holders, so other family members with lower income tax rates than me. And I've been able to really lower the amount of tax that I've been able to pay legally by buying these properties into various different tax structures. So that for me, mate, has been a big benefit, because I'm not losing a lot of my dollar that I'm earning in tax. I'm able to reduce that amount of tax that I'm paying via distributions, which are fine to do under a trust structure, to lower tax marginal rate payers.
After the break, we'll delve into Anazani's key tips and habits that have allowed him to build a successful portfolio.
I would say the best habit that I've got into is I've created a property summary Excel many years ago for myself.
How he's managed to efficiently maintain his portfolio on just a few hours a week.
But I would say that, you know, people should be dedicating at least a good 4 to 5 hours a week to education, managing their property portfolio, or just even a bit of learning and listening.
Are you looking at buying property? Unsure which suburb to choose? Let me share with you an amazing tool. It's called Location Score, and it's the simplest way to decide where to buy profitable property all over Australia. Created by property experts Ben Kingsley, Bryce Holloway, and Jeremy Shepherd. You can check it out at propertyinvestory.com/location score. Also, when you buy through my affiliate link, I'll give you 1 month access to the Property Investory Club, where you can learn from the experts and be part of a private property investing community valued at $99. Visit propertyinvestory.com/location score to claim your special offer. On a smaller scale, Anazani utilizes personal habits to maximize the efficiency and ease with which he manages his expanding portfolio.
I would say the best habit that I've got into is I've created a property summary Excel many years ago for myself, because I said one property is good to summarize, 2, 3, 4. But when I created this Excel, it was really to show me how my properties were performing on a monthly basis. So I'd collect all my data on the end of the month, as the property manager would send it, input it into my Excel, and I could actually see how my properties were performing on a monthly basis. So one of the key questions I ask my clients is, how is your properties performing? How are they going? Cash flow positive, cash flow negative? What months are good? What months are bad? What years are good? And quite often the answer I get is, I don't know. And I always say that, well, you know how much money you earn from your job. Treat your properties almost like a job. They're a business, and they're there and designed to make you money. And if you don't know if your business is making you money or not, how can you improve on it? How can you go out there and look at other properties and be able to balance a portfolio without knowing what your figures are? So my best habit, Tyrone, has been that I've been very diligent with my figures. And at any one point in time, I know exactly where my property portfolio stands from a cash flow point of view, as well as a capital growth point of view. So I'm constantly getting market updates or bank valuations just to see where my property portfolio is moving and how it's moving. So that, to me, has been absolutely fantastic and an integral part of my success, because I've been able to see and track, well, do I need a cash flow positive to help balance my negative? Or can I afford to get that little bit more of a negative geared property where there is a bit more opportunity, because the existing portfolio I got will help maintain any losses that property will have? So that has been my best habit. Also, I continue to do a lot of learning and research. So I strongly believe that I'm nowhere near as educated as I could be in the property arena. I always believe there's more that we can learn. So I consistently try to update myself on changes that are happening, I tried to learn a lot about council zonings and regulations and the processes involved in different councils so I can identify value in properties that maybe a normal investor wouldn't. I suppose that's the difference of the very successful investors is that they do their homework on specific areas and they do understand everything around that specific area that potentially a normal investor wouldn't, so they can identify that that property can be developed or it can't. That property can have a granny flat. That property can be subdivided. And that knowledge is integral part of making money. So that's something that I always try to do, and that's a bit of a good habit, is I'm constantly updating myself with changes and learning lots about different councils and shires.
The scale of his investments, as well as his full-time management of two accounting firms, suggests an enormous output of time and commitment. But with these personal strategies, he manages to efficiently maintain his portfolio on just a few hours a week, an insignificant expenditure compared to, say, a full-time job.
I always say to everyone, you only get out what you put in. With managing the two accounting firms, it does take up a very large bulk of my time. I do often find myself working on Saturdays and Sundays to keep up, but I enjoy it. That's the difference. I love what I do. So for me, it's, you know, people say you work a lot. I say that I'm enjoying my time. It's not really work. With property investing, definitely I do try to allocate a dedicated amount of time to it each week. And it may be sometimes 2 hours. It may be up to 4 or 5 hours each week. It really depends on the problems that I need to solve with my property portfolio or what stage am I in? Am I in an acquisition stage where I'm trying to get out there and buy some more properties or do some developments, or am I just in a bit more of a consolidation phase where I'm just maintaining the property portfolio at this present time? So different stages of where I am in my property portfolio journey really, I suppose, depicts the amount of time that I allocate or spend. But I would say that, you know, people should be dedicating at least a good 4 to 5 hours a week to education, managing their property portfolio, or just even a bit of learning and listening. I think that's a good amount of time to really grasp the concept and also manage maybe any existing portfolio that you got. So that's, say, conservatively 20 hours a month. But it's what you put into the journey. It's what you're going to get out. So, you know, if you've got more time to really research and learn, then do it. And if you've got less, then you really need to try and find where you're wasting some time or where you can reallocate some of your time better to assist you in your journey.
Anazani supports his ever-increasing property market knowledge with a wide range of resources, turning to pages often overlooked by others, to ensure that he's always on the cusp of new trends and developments in the market.
I like to listen to, obviously, a lot of podcasts, such as what yourself, Tyrone, that you're doing, you know, just to learn from other people and what they're doing. Obviously, those books that I mentioned, Jan Summers is quite an older book, but at the same time, there's a lot of very valid concepts that you need to take out of it. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, yes, it's, you know, based at an American customer base, but nevertheless, it's the concepts that we look to take out of those particular books. Stephen McKnight's got some fantastic books that I've read as well. So those are the key books that I've read. I've read a lot more, especially a lot of the magazines, a lot of, you know, the investment property magazines. I know most of them have turned into more of a digital media outlet, but nevertheless, when they were around, I used to read them quite a bit and just read about other people's journeys and read about what the buyer's agents were doing. And I used to, believe it or not, Tyrone, at the back of those magazines used to be all the statistics of how the properties have moved in terms of their standard deviation or median house price. And I used to look at that. I used to actually really study that and pick out what are the key areas, mate. I used to look at what areas are really standing out to me as moving in the market. So not many people I spoke to used to turn to the back of the magazines, Tyrone, and see all those numbers, you know, a lot of percentages and just numbers. But I used to really study them to see, well, what were the really performing areas that month?
If you like hearing this podcast about his story, strategy and mindset and want to learn more from him, then
best way to get in contact with me is call my office on 02-9633-5511. That number again is 02-9633-5511. You can go to our website, which is www.keshub.com. keshab.com.au, spelled K-E-S-H-A-B for Bob.com.au, and just go through the channels, and you can maybe organise a bit of time to sit down with me if my diary allows it, or if you are looking for a new accountant, more than happy to have a bit of an obligation-free meeting to see if we can assist you in your accounting needs.
Thank you to Jeremy Al-Nahzani, our guest today at Property Investory. In this episode, we went behind the scenes of his property investing story and discovered the key aspects of his investment strategies. If you want to hear more about his journey, the ways in which he applied his accounting background that has allowed him to develop a significant portfolio at such a young age, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar Jeremy Al-Nahzani and select that episode to learn more about his story. Also, are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to get your copy right now. Thanks for listening.